This is Radio Free Asgard.
This is episode number 102 of Radio Free Asgard. We are still the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin, unless another one has sprung up in the last couple of weeks, and a proud member of the Comics Podcasts Network. And this weekend was just one of those weekends where you just want to be outside. It's just gorgeous, gorgeous weather that we're having in Chicago this week. And this weekend was certainly no exception. So what did I do? I stayed indoors. Yes, of course. That's exactly what you'd expect. But of course, I had a good reason. And that, of course, is one of the two big comics conventions, C2E2, took place this past weekend down at the McCormick Place here in Chicago. And of course, my other half, Pete, and I went down there and spent the day on Saturday. And a good time was had by all. This was, I don't know, for me, it felt like a much lower key affair than it was last year. Last year, it seemed like really crowded, really bustling. And let's make no mistake, it was still very crowded this weekend at the convention. But it seemed to me as though they laid the convention out in a little bit more intelligent manner. So they had more space between the tables and Artist Alley. They had more space between the various vendors. Now, one really odd thing that we noticed, and we thought it was our imagination until we actually started looking, and that is DC did not have a booth there this year. Now, I guess to make up for that, they had the buses, you know, the free shuttle buses that go back and forth between various parts of downtown Chicago and McCormick Place. Which is a great thing. I mean, I love the fact that they have free shuttle buses. You can take the train down, get it at the train station. It'll take you right to the convention. All those shuttle buses were showing advertisements for various DC products. And they had free DC comics. It's like the new 52 number one issues. And they were giving these away on the buses. So maybe that was DC's contribution. I don't know. But it was a pretty good convention. Though this year I actually walked away pretty cheaply. I bought one back issue. We'll actually be hearing about that back issue about a month from now. I usually will buy a page of original art. I like collecting original comics art. I don't have a lot of money to do so, but I was looking at a lot of different stuff this year. Now, one of the things that I was looking for at this convention, I wanted to buy a page of Oliver Coipel Thor art. And Oliver Coipel was at the convention. I got to say hello to him at least, but the artwork, oh my God, was so expensive. It was just incredibly expensive. I think the cheapest pages he had were like $350 a piece, and they didn't have Thor on them. I think the one that tempted me the most was about $300, and it had two of the Warriors Three on it. I really seriously considered that, and at the end of the day, I was thinking, you know, I'm considering paying $300 for that. I don't know, you know, and I had second thoughts about it, and I ultimately let it go. But I did get to talk to a number of other people who are people I admire in the world of comics, people whose artwork I've enjoyed in the past. I talked to Mark Morales, who, of course, was the inker on Oliver Coipel over some of his Thor stuff, and looked at some of his pages. And you know, even his pages were a bit expensive, especially the ones with Coipel art. But on one level, you know it's worth it because it's beautiful, beautiful artwork. I have to say, it's just gorgeous stuff. On the other hand, I don't have $800 to drop on a page of art, no matter how beautiful it is. You know, that's just kind of the way it is. Got to meet Bill Sienkiewicz. That was kind of a reserved conversation that I had with him, and was looking through some of his sketches. Talk about expensive. He's selling sketchbook sketches, not even like finished art, for about $200, $300 a pop. And I've never been so big a fan of Bill Sienkiewicz that I had to have a piece of art by him. But it was cool to watch him work. He was actually working on something while I was there, probably a commission. And he's still doing some gorgeous stuff, folks. He, you know, even though he's not really in the public eye now, he really is doing some nice work out there. Probably one of the highlights of the convention for me was meeting an artist whose work I've enjoyed for a lot of years, and that being Mr. Joe Staton, who I will have to say is one of the nicest people I've ever met at a convention. He's was just really warm and friendly and was happy to talk to a fan. And, you know, I thought it was kind of sad that he didn't have a crowd of people around him, you know, and I went up to him at one of the booths. I think it was the first comics booth. In fact, I know it was the first comics booth where he was signing copies of the collection of E-Man that he did back in the 80s. And I got a chance to talk with him for a few minutes. It was nice. He's a really, really nice guy, like I said, though not really an artist you would identify with Thor. There's always somebody cool who I end up talking to. A few years ago, it was Colleen Duran. I actually had like a 25-minute conversation with, because, you know, nobody knew who she was. And she doesn't do a lot of conventions, so I felt like really happy to be able to communicate with her. Yeah, so good time was had by all, and I ended up walking away basically with nothing. I bought a back issue of Thor, which we'll be covering on the show at some time in the near future. And that was pretty much it. You know, and of course, like a lot of these conventions, there were a lot of people in costume. There were, you know, different things going on at different times. They had a lot of stuff up for auction. The big show for Star Wars toys, that seemed to be the theme of this as far as the merchandising was concerned, as far as the auctions were concerned. One of the things that Pete and I like to do when we're at a convention, we kind of take note is what was the costume cosplay choice of the year. And this year, by far, the choice was Finn from Adventure Time. That was the costume we saw the most throughout the weekend. And we saw a lot of other characters from Adventure Time as well. But it's kind of odd. You know, last year we saw a lot of My Little Pony. We saw a lot of Deadpool. We saw a lot of Deadpool this year too. But it wasn't like it was last year. And last year I remember just a shitload of Robin. You know, and there were Robins, but it wasn't nearly as many. But there were, you know, a few Stormtroopers around, of course, like there always are. We had some of the Ghostbuster groups running around. I don't know if they were working the convention or what, but they seemed to be everywhere. So anyway, without any further ado, let's go ahead and move on to our review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, mighty Thor.
And this week we'll be looking at Thor, God of Thunder, number 7, The God Bomb, Part 1. Cover art is by Esad Rebic and shows Thor in a typically dramatic pose with his sort of back to the camera, looking like he's about to turn around and bash us with his hammer. Beautiful cover, that. A little bit annoying that we have this advertisement at the bottom of the cover for Iron Man 3, but I guess that's with the movie coming out in the next week or so. That's you have to expect that, I guess. Opening up the front cover, we have an advertisement for Dr. Pepper, 10 manly calories. Yeah, and then we open up to the splash page, and the title of the story is Where Gods Go to Die. I have a beautiful splash page here, and it's not the same one as last issue, so I guess I was wrong about that. And it is a nice picture of Thor standing very proudly there with his hammer in hand, looking like he's ready to kick some ass. And, of course, we have the credits for the issue. Jason Aaron was the writer. Esad Rebic is the artist. Eve Svortzina, the colorist. VC's Joe Serino was the letterer. Esad Rebic, of course, did the cover. Gabrielle Deloto did the variant cover, which I don't have. Jake Thomas was the assistant editor. Lauren Sankovich was the editor. Axel Alonso was the editor-in-chief. Joe Quesada was the chief executive officer. Dan Buckley is the publisher. And Alan Fine is the executive producer. Oh, sorry. Executive producer. Anyway. And I'm really very glad to see that Esad Rebic is back on the art chores this time. Not that I have anything against Butch Geis, but I really think that his style really suits the story better. And we open up in the flashback here. Of course, we're looking back at ancient Thor. This is, of course, Thor back in the 9th century. And he is waking up in bed with a shield maiden. It's obviously not Sif. She's not pretty enough to be Sif. And we have a little bit of a framing sequence here because we have a panel of Gore saying, "Wake up, God of Thunder. I'm not finished with you yet." And we go into this scene here of Thor in the distant past. And Thor wakes with a start and is like, "Ah!" And the woman is like, "Ready for another go-round already, God of Thunder?" And Thor's like, "He's not dead." "Who's not dead?" "No one. Don't worry your pretty little head." "My pretty little head has been smashing faces and breaking noses since I was old enough to see straight. I'm a shield maiden, not some sheep herder's daughter.
Tell me, who are we to murder? You should know I make war like I make love, naked and in a berserker rage. Thor?
There's no one here. There's no one coming. Trolls take my eyes. I'm acting like a child, frightened by his own shadow. 8 days since I killed that god butcher bastard, and I still can't get him out of my head. I wish to dream no more this night. That means you will have to keep me awake until the morn.
That I can do, my lord, for the glory of Asgard. And she throws her sword away, and they embrace, and we shift scenes to Iceland at 983 AD, or here where we hear a scream.
It was not so much a scream that rang out through the Viking village of Kolkmiar as it was a cry of battle, the first of many that would be heard that night, the night the shadows themselves came out to murder.
And we have an advertisement here for Iron Man Rise of Technovore. And we get back to the story. And we shift to many thousands of years in the future, where we have Thor, the old man, the future Thor, and of course, present day Thor, who has kind of popped up into his world a couple of issues ago. And they're getting acquainted here, and present day Thor has this look of astonishment on his face, and he's staring at the old man, and who actually really looks a lot like Odin here. And he says,
"So, you really are me? The older, wiser, and more exquisitely bearded you, yes. What's happened to my eye? And is that the arm of the Destroyer?"
And so, Manuel, you were right about that. I thought maybe it was just Destroyer-like armor, but no, it's like totally the arm of the Destroyer.
"Are you going to simply gawk at me like some half-witted Hercules, or may we see to our business? You act as if you've never time-traveled before." "Many times, but I've never been waiting for myself once I got there."
And the two of them are wandering through the building, and Thor's like, and I have to differentiate now. Present-day Thor's like,
"This is Asgard? What's happened here? Where is everyone?" "One question at a time, boy. Let's answer the one you asked when you first arrived. Where is the god Butcher?"
And Thor points out,
This is Hlidskjalf, the high seat of Odin. No one but the Allfather himself is allowed in here." "You are right about that."
And Thor's like, "You, I mean, we, are the Allfather."
"I am the Allfather. You are still just, what are you again? An Avenger? Guardian of the Galaxy? The head of that ridiculous little order of yours? Have you moved to the sun and become a cosmic god cop yet?" "What? No."
I like the sound of that.
"Oh, then forget I said anything. Wait, if you truly are me, then shouldn't you remember this happening? Remember coming here and meeting yourself?" "I can hardly remember how to buckle my own trousers, can I? And this is time traveler we're talking about. There are all manner of annoying rules governing this sort of thing. I've always hated time travel." "And you always will."
"What are you looking for?" And he's looking in this, I guess it's Odin's cosmic voyeuroscope of some nature. And there's all these little glowing globes and little view screens and shit like that. And old Thor is looking around Asgard, and
"They're gone. Those damned black berserkers, they're really gone."
And present-day Thor's like, "Gone where?"
"Gore has called them home, by the looks of it. For the first time in 900 years, the skies around Asgard are empty. The siege is broken. By my beard, we've still got a chance. I go to make myself ready for war. You should do the same, young Thunder God." "I'm ready now." "Let us leave at once. Gods could be dying while we tarry." "We will die if we are not prepared for what we shall face. This is no mere Ragnarok come upon us, boy. This is an ending beyond all known endings. This is apocalypse unparalleled."
I really like Old Man Thor's reference here to this being like the ultimate crisis is much bigger than any old Ragnarok. It's like Ragnarok happens every day in Marvel Comics. It reminds me a lot of the 70s, and not so much in the Lee Kirby stuff, but in the stuff that happened just after they left the book. And you get people like Roy Thomas writing the book. And it seemed to me like, you know, every 10th issue there was this threat of Ragnarok. And after a while, you just kind of get sick of it. And so this is kind of cute that they made reference to that here.
"There is a chamber in the east wing, just past the statues of the kings. You've never entered, have you?"
"No. Odin always said it was for all fathers only."
"Yes, Well, now on the eve of your extinction, you will find all that you need inside. Make yourself ready and meet me at the docks.
Old Thor goes teleporting away, and Thor is wandering around the halls of Asgard.
This cannot be right. Perhaps this is one of those alternate futures that the X-Men are always going on about. Surely I do not grow up to become my father.
I like that.
What could I possibly need to make myself ready? I'm ready now. Ready to pound the butcher of gods into the dirt once and for...
And he opens the door, and inside he sees just casks of ale and amphoras of wine. This is basically the wine cellar of Asgard here. And he just has this look on his face. It's like, well, I suppose one drink wouldn't hurt. And have an ad for Iron Man 3, of course. And we shift scenes on the next page, and we are back in the 9th century, and we have Thor, young Thor that is, doing battle with one of these shadow beastie things, and it's tackled Thor with a boom and knocked him into the snow, and Thor's swiping at it with his axe and slicing bits of it off, and he's yelling really loud, he sent you, didn't he? The god butcher. I knew he wasn't dead. Where is the one-armed coward? Thor would cleave whatever's left of him. Speak, you bloodless dogs. Where is your master? Where the... And one of them throws down a... looks like a red crystal of some kind. And it explodes like in a... Like there's liquid inside it. And I'm guessing that that's blood, folks. I'm guessing that this is the god blood that we saw in the previous issue. And it explodes with a foom. And indeed, it teleports young Thor through time. So I know it's been a few issues since we've talked about this before, but you remember that Gore made use of this big lake of god blood in order to travel through time. So this is obviously something somehow connected with that. And he's like, hell? And he hears a voice.
At last, my favorite Thor. Welcome. Welcome to the place where gods go to die.
Gore, this time when I cut you, you'll stay dismembered. And Gore's like,
I have to mention that Thor is entirely naked here, so it's amusing. And a arm of shadow reaches out, slams Thor into the wall with a wham, then slams him down to the floor. And Gore is completely covered with the shadow stuff at this point. So it's like he's wearing this big, huge cloak of the shadow stuff.
Now, where were we when we last met? Before those Viking friends of yours interrupted us in that cave.
And he starts to torture young Thor. And he's
going, ah, yes, I believe that was it.
And we shift scenes again. And we find elderly Thor. And he's in a tomb of some description, and there's all these like sarcophagi in here. They look like they're unmarked, and he's standing there in reverence, and he's saying,
I'm sorry, my sons. Sorry I failed you. I pray for your forgiveness and your strength. If the children yet live, I will find them. So swears the King of Asgard.
And he shouts out, Thor!
Are you ready to go spill your blood across the end of time? Are you ready to die as the stars die with you? Are you ready to laugh in the face of the twilight of the gods?
And young Thor, or I should say present-day Thor, it's kind of confusing, isn't it? Walks in with a cask on one shoulder, and he's like,
aye, Thor is ready.
And old Thor picks up his hammer. Present-day Thor is asking him, but I still need answers. What has happened to Asgard?
Gore the God Butcher happened. 900 years ago, he came here out of time, spewing black berserkers, an endless army of the beasts. We held them at bay as long as we could. But as our numbers dwindled, his power grew, and ultimately I was all that was left.
He killed them? Killed all of Asgard?
He took them, enslaved them. He has his own world, a dead, blackened planet at the edge of space. He's building something there. I know not what. For all these years, all I could do was watch from afar. He's kept me trapped here alone for 9 centuries, always surrounded by those damned berserkers, unable to break free. unable to die. I thought Asgard would be my prison for eternity. But then you came. You have renewed my strength, young god of thunder. Seeing myself as I once was, though beardless and dim-witted, nevertheless fills me with vigor. For the first time in centuries I feel like a god again. I dare say I even feel the rumblings of the Thor force within me once again, which I long since thought forever spent. Thor force? You mean the Odin force? You wield the awesome power of the Odin force? We call it the Thor force now, boy, and have for 10,000 years. I've wielded far longer than that old man ever did, and now it is mine once more. This is our chance. Gore has called his minions home. The fiend dares us to come after him, and we shall, hammers in hand. Are you with me, Thor? To the end, Thor. Then give me a drink of that ale, and let us fly.
And he's leading Thor to this flying ship, and we've seen that flying ship in Thor comics before. Remember, Thor back in the 70s and 80s used to fly through space in that thing all over the place. And the two of them get on the ship, and old man Thor's like, "For honor and the realm eternal! For vengeance divine! The last charge of the armies of Asgard! The last ride of the gods of thunder!" And the boat takes off into space. I think we get a little bit of exposition here. This is not an issue with a lot of exposition.
And so Skidbladnir, most vaunted of the longships of Asgard, set sail across the cosmic seas with its cargo of enchanted Uru hammers, Allfather's ale, and the greatest collection of Thors ever assembled. And yet...
And at that point, we shift back to where Gore is torturing young Thor. And apparently he's now unconscious, and Gore's like,
"Take him away, I've had my fun. Now you have to have yours, young prince. Take our new arrivals to the construction site and put them all to work in the mines. All except Thor. I want him with the builders at the summit. I want him there at the moment the work is finally completed. See that Thor drives in the last nail."
So whatever he's making here, he's building out of nails. On the next page, we see we can get the Inhumans now on DVD. Wow, okay. Another ad here for Thanos Rising number 2, written by Jason Aaron. Yeah, okay. That must be why last issue kind of stunk a little bit. Anyway, so we shift scenes again. We're back at the Cosmic Library in Omnipotent City, the nexus of all the gods. You remember that place? And we have the librarian, who's that old fairy guy with the wings. And there's some other god with him. We don't really know who that is. And he's like,
"Well, don't just stand there wasting my time and breathing my air. Speak. Or can you not even do that correctly, God of the Watch?"
"The communications division has tried contacting the world of Chronix, as you asked, Lord Librarian, but without success. The god priests of the word have dispatched dozens of space ravens and comet probes to where they believe Chronix to be hidden, but all have gone unanswered. They suggest in the future you refrain from burning the books you've been entrusted with protecting, especially those containing the only known directions to hidden worlds."
"A billion gods in this city, and I'm the only one who's not an absolute waste of divinity. What else, oh useless one?"
"I've communed with the surveillance spirits. Your library was the only division infiltrated. I suggest you review your own obviously substandard security enchantments."
"And what of the Department of Death and Taxes? Did you go to them as I asked?"
"Their blood auditors have indeed reported the stench of god blood in the corner of the cosmos where Chronix is believed to be, but there is no way to..."
"And no word from Thor?"
"The Asgardian? No, none at all."
And we see a familiar figure kind of lurking in the shadows here.
"He's gone! Thor is lost in the forevers now, just like Gore!"
Now, this, of course, is Shadrach, who we met a few issues ago and who was hiding in that cave where Thor first encountered Gore and went with him to this library place and I guess has just been kind of hiding there ever since. And remember, he's a sort of green dude with a similar kind of tentacles on his head to what Gore has. And he's got four eyes, kind of two normal eyes and then two littler ones up above them. And he's just kind of being crazy and hanging around this place.
"Will that be all your esteemed librarianship?" My godson is creating his first world today, and I would very much like to be...
Call the Parliament into session.
What? Can you even do that?
Tell them if they don't want the pages of their family history ripped from every book known to the heavens, they'll do as I say. You, what is your name again?
Shadrach, god of baubles and ballerinas.
And what do you know of God Butcher, Shadrach the Mad?
Nothing. There's no need to know anything. It'll all be over soon. All of this. All of us. It's better this way. I shouldn't have helped him, I know, but I knew this way would be better.
Helped him? Helped him how?
No, never mind. I'm merely Shadrach, god of kittens and coconuts. I don't...
Stop lying to me. You're the god of this, the god of that. Who are you really?
God of pancakes and tambourines?
And the old fairy guy just smacks Shadrach across the room with a shroom, knocks him down.
He's like, if you really are a god, then your name and image are somewhere in this library. If you make me dig out the book myself, I will beat you senseless with it. Do you hear me?
It's better this way. I swear, better than how he was doing it. Tearing us apart, one by one. He made me watch. I only helped him so I wouldn't have to watch anymore, so no one would. He came to me. He made me show him how to build it. Please, it will all be better this way, believe me.
Start making sense, damn it. Tell me what you're hiding. Tell me who you are.
I am only Shadrach, god of...
And we get a glimpse here of Thor, young Thor, and he's carrying this giant wooden structure up to the top of whatever this thing is. And we see that is a giant globe. This huge round thing just standing on top. It's being held up by like mountains. And this is just a truly enormous thing. And Shadrach is saying,
god of bombs.
To be continued. And that is Thor, God of Thunder, number 7. Yeah, hell of a lot better than last issue, wasn't it? Well, I guess last issue was really kind of just fill-in issue of sorts, an opportunity for Esad Ribic to get a little bit of rest or to catch up or whatever. I don't know how fast Esad Ribic works. Incidentally, I saw some of Esad Ribic's pages for sale this past weekend too, but they were all a little bit much for me. Unfortunately, none of them were Thor pages. Otherwise, I might have been even a little bit more tempted. Yeah, so now the story is kicking into high gear. I think this is probably the strongest issue we've had in a while of Thor God of Thunder. It was well-paced. It was exciting. We had some cool scenes here of the Thors who are teamed up. And I imagine that next issue, or possibly the issue after that, we're going to see all three of the Thors teamed up to fight against Gore. Even though I'm really kind of tired of Gore the God Butcher, I think that that'll be pretty cool, seeing all three Thors fighting side by side. And obviously that's going to be a pretty epic battle, especially if Esad Ribic is drawing it. Loving the Esad Ribic art in this issue. It is better, I think, than anything we've seen in the prior issues. And that's saying something. I think that, Esad Ribic, of course, is extreme talent. Okay, and with that, it's time to wrap up the show for this episode. Yeah, short one, really, kind of. But that's kind of, modern Thor for you. A lot of really cool art and not a lot of story in there. If you'd like to contact the show, give feedback, your views on these issues, anything else, please feel free to do so. The email address is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. And you can join us over on Facebook as well. Just look for Radio Free Asgard over there and you'll find us, because I think we're the only one. And with that, it is time to sign off for this week. So thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you next week here on Radio Free Asgard.